You're listening to Crossroads International Church podcast. Welcome. We hope this podcast will bless you from wherever you're listening to it. For more information, go to our website at xrgs.nl. And now, let's get into the podcast.
Friends, let me tell you, I just have, like I shared with you last week, just, God's laid on my heart, some weeks ago already, just a very real sense that God's doing something new and exciting in the Netherlands, and really doing a great work with our young people. And so it's an intentional choice that we've made as a leadership to really encourage and raise up our young people. So that's why you see people like Angel hosting on a Sunday, one of our young people. What a great job she did, right? Because we want to encourage our young people and say that God's doing a new thing. That God will use the Netherlands as a springboard, if you will, to revive not only Europe, but dare we say, all the nations of the world. And in some small way, Crossroads has a part to play. And so I think all of us as a church collective, we just say, Jesus, count us in. Whatever it might be, count us in. We're ready for that. For a new and wonderful thing that you're doing in us. So, Baptism Sunday, and I was sitting there thinking, I think this is probably the first time in 30 years of preaching that I'm preaching in a t-shirt. That's never happened before. And sneakers, I think that's what you call these shoes. I'm not really sure what you call them, but here we are, Baptism Sunday. What a joyous and beautiful moment. So, friends, we are part, and so if you're visiting, welcome. Good to have you with us. We're here to just worship our God and to encounter our God and say, Lord, here we are, your children. We want to meet with you. And we ask that you speak with us, that you encounter us, so that when we leave here today, we can leave with a sense of, I have met with my Creator. And so that's why we gather. So we're busy with a fun and beautiful sermon series, a 3-week series. Today is the closing of it. We started off week one talking about this beautiful gift that God's given us called the church, the ecclesia, the church. And we spoke about what is the church, what's its power and purpose in our lives. And on that Sunday, we welcomed new members into our congregation. Last week, we looked at one of this beautiful sacred gifts that God has given the church and Jesus instructed us to do, and that is communion. And we shared communion together. Today, we look at the second of the sacraments, those things that Jesus instructed and asked us to do, and it's baptism. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to baptize some people today. I'm excited about that. I'm just wondering if I should say it now or just now. I think I'll say it now so that God's Spirit can begin to work in your life. Let me say it now. Okay, so here it is. So about 2 weeks ago, God really laid on my heart. So usually how we do baptisms, you come, you sign up, and you meet with Stefan, and you have your interview, you prepare your testimony, and we have baptisms. And so for this morning, I think we've got 4 people signed up that we are going to baptize that are going to share their testimony this morning in the first service. But about 2 weeks ago, God just laid him out and said, hey, just, open it up. So the team panicked, of course. But here we are. We're going to do it. So today, and I pray that God's Spirit will begin to stir in your heart now already. After we've baptized those 4 people that have signed up, we're going to open it up. To anyone who has not been baptized, that want to be baptized, today is the day. And some of you have started panicking right now. Fear not. Don't panic, because we've bought clothes. Yeah. Believe it or not. So you've got no excuse. We've got some spare underpants for you even. We've got it all. We've bought some clothes for you. Don't worry. And because I'm springing it on you, in a sense, don't worry about giving a testimony for those who are saying, here now today, I choose not to leave this place without publicly confessing my faith in Jesus. I'm not even going to ask you to give your testimony here now. We're going to film it afterwards. So you just come, tell me your name. I'm going to ask you some baptism questions. And then we're going to baptize you. So, Spirit of God. I don't know what's going on at Crossroads at the moment. This is... So, Spirit of God, begin your work in the hearts of your people now, we pray. So, today we talk baptism. So, before we get to that, let's talk about baptism a little bit, about its meaning and its purpose and its power in our lives. And so, if you have not been baptized, I pray that you will prayerfully consider today being the day. If you have been baptized, I want to say to you, I pray that you will remember your baptism. That you'll remember that joy, and that you'll also remember that your baptism was not just a once-off thing, but that you will understand and be reminded and reaffirm those promises and live again into the power of your baptism. And so that today, even for you, will be a joyous moment. Okay, so let me start by saying this. I think when we talk about baptism, it's interesting to note this. So think about this. Let me remind you something. The first thing that Jesus did before starting his public ministry was what? To be baptized, to get baptized by John the Baptizer. So the first thing Jesus did to start his public ministry was to be baptized. The last thing before Jesus ascended to the Father, the last command that he gave his disciples was what? Go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing them. So the first thing he did was to get baptized. The last thing, I mean, think about this. The last thing that he said was, you go and baptize. And so I suppose in some ways, we can say it like this. On the cross, Christ identified with us, and in baptism, we identify with him. I'll explain that a bit more. Okay, so baptism is what we call a sacrament. It's one of the two sacraments we have at Crossroads. We choose to align with most of the Protestant Christians around the world. Two sacraments. And why those two? It is because those are the two things that Jesus commanded us, specifically those two things, communion and baptism, to go and do. And so the second of our baptism, of our sacraments, is baptism. Sacrament, let me remind you, we define it as an outward, visible sign of an inward, invisible grace. So an outward sign of the inner working of God's grace in our life. God's grace, we define that as, you remember, God's free, undeserved, unmerited favor and work in our lives. And so the sacrament of baptism, as Holy Communion, is an outward symbol, an outward sign of what God's doing in us, God's grace at work in us. But I think important that we understand this important thing about what makes a sacrament, is to understand this. Because if we don't understand this, this will just be for us an empty symbol, an empty ritual that we do with no purpose or value. So we must understand that in a sacrament, in faith, we believe that God is actually at work. So it's not just an empty ritual that we perform, but it is an outward sign that we can see that paints a picture for us of what God is actually busy doing in our lives. Painting a picture of two things. I think there are two components to it when it comes to sacraments that we must be mindful of. The first is, there is this invitation. God, will you do? Will you work in my life? And so when we baptize, when we have communion, when we share the sacraments together, an outward sign of the thing that God does in us, it is an invitation on, God, I invite this into my life. I want this. I welcome it. I yield to your work in my life. But it is also not just that. It is also, secondly, so it is the invitation, the yielding of the work of God to the work of God in our lives, but it's also a promise from God to do that thing in us. So it's a twofold thing. Lord, will you? And God says, yes, I will. A sign of what God is doing in us. So, okay, so let's talk about baptism then a little bit. The idea of baptism goes back, really, it is a very old idea. We read of it in the Old Testament. And right from the beginning, associated with the idea of baptism, it's this idea of, we read in the Old Testament, this kind of bathing for ritual purification. So this idea of washing, of cleansing, of purifying, of forgiving, and the water is symbolic of that. That's the first thing that has been associated with baptism from, well, pretty much the beginning. We read this in Ezekiel 36, 25 to 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, is it the water that was doing that? No, it's God. God doing that. The water was a sign of what God was doing, what was happening on the inside, something that was actually happening alongside the sign act. So it's not just an empty ritual. So from the beginning, we see associated with baptism, and this is the first picture I want you to hold before you, this first truth I want you to hold as you think about baptism, those who are going to be and those who have, is this idea of God, forgive me, cleanse me, purify me, a washing, a cleansing. And so that's always been associated with baptism. But then as we jump into the New Testament, and so, for example, John the Baptizer, we read, what was his message? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. That cleansing and that purifying. But then as we read into the New Testament, the picture begins to build and we gain a fuller understanding of all that baptism means for us. So yes, that's the first thing we hold on to, a sense of God, wash me clean, purify me, yielding to your continued purifying work in my life. But there's more. Now, in the New Testament, there are so many passages. Paul writes a lot about baptism. We find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John also, we read about baptism. But for the sake of time, I want to focus on one passage, and that is the baptism of Jesus. Because really at the baptism of Jesus, which you read of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're going to look at Luke's version of that event. But in Jesus' baptism, that was a key moment in the church evolving and growing in its understanding of what baptism means. And in the baptism of Jesus, we see it's so much more than just this cleansing, this washing, this new start truth. Let's read Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. So in the baptism of Jesus, we see that baptism is so much more than just the forgiveness of sins. Because why did Jesus then get baptized? Because he had nothing to repent of. He didn't have to be forgiven for anything. In fact, John the Baptizer says this as well. Remember, he says, no, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. And so we ask, okay, so there's greater meaning, more truths attached to baptism, and that's what we want to look at. A few things I want to leave with you. And I think just firstly to say this, and this is important for us, and this is part of the reason why it's a sacrament and why we still baptize in the year 2024, is that Jesus, what was he doing? Jesus, in being baptized, it's not for the forgiveness of sins, but it was to pave the way for you and me. By Jesus stepping into the water, you and I know we have to step into the water. So as followers of Christ, there is no excuse. Jesus was setting the example, showing the way for us. And if we say we are followers of Christ, we too have to follow his example and step into the water. And so in his baptism, he also identifies with us, but he also calls us to participate. And that's why we do what we do. Okay, but we begin to see a fuller understanding of baptism. Yes, forgiveness, John the Baptist said, repent, be baptized. It is that, but look at what happens. So as Jesus is baptized, heaven, the heavens open, and we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, coming on Jesus. So now all of a sudden, we bring the truth of not just forgiveness, but now there's a connection between baptism and the Holy Spirit. And it was really from then on, and because of this, that the tradition in churches around the world is that when those who have given themselves for baptism are about to be baptized, the people baptizing them would lay their hands on them and pray for an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on that person. And so there's a connection with baptism and the work of God's Holy Spirit. Now, let me be clear. God's Spirit is at work before already. It's called prevenient grace, that grace which brings us to the point of salvation, that grace that brings us to the point where we say, God, I need you. I bend the knee to you, God's prevenient grace. God, I want to live in obedience and be baptized. That's God's grace. That's God's Spirit already at work in us. But at baptism, we see in Jesus' baptism, something beautiful happens. There's this residency that the Holy Spirit takes up in our lives. And so two things happen. There is, at our baptism, there's the invitation, Spirit of God, will you take up residency in me? And the promise of God, I will continue my work of shaping and molding, that sanctifying work. Sanctus and fascio, sanctus holy, fascio to be made or to make holy. This is my promise, I will give you my Spirit and I will continue this beautiful work in your life. I'm not just going to leave you, but every day by my Spirit, my power will work in you and shape and mold you every day to be more like Jesus. So when we come for baptism, we understand it is an invitation and a promise. Lord, I invite your Spirit to take up residency in me. I yield to the refining and shaping work of your presence in me every day. And that's why our baptism is not just a once-off thing. For those, I was baptized when I was 10 years old. I was looking for a photo to show you, but I couldn't find it. And it wasn't just something that happened 40 or so years ago. But when I stand here and I baptize and I see people being baptized, I remember that it is an invitation from my side, Lord, please, Spirit of God, every day. And a promise from God, yes, every day. that God's at work in me every day. So the work of the Spirit now becomes associated for us with baptism, not just the work of forgiveness. There's more. Another thing happens. We hear these words, the Father saying, "You are my dearly loved Son." So now we bring another truth into baptism that we hang on to, that it's an outward sign of, and it's this truth of adoption. Into "you are my son, you are mine." So at our baptism, what happens is there's this kind of this claiming of us, this claiming of ownership. You belong to me. I am yours. You are mine. And connected to this adoption into God's family, his son, his daughter, ownership is so connected. There's this idea of being born again. And the water is symbolic of that as well. So at first I'm born as a child of my parents, but here now it's symbolic of me being born as a child of God, adopted into his family. And so I hold on to forgiveness, the work of God's Spirit, adoption into his family. There's more. The Spirit of God descended on Christ like a dove, which is the universal symbol of what? Peace. And so also part of what takes root in our lives at our baptism is this beginning of the peace of God in our lives. We invite God's peace and we receive God's peace for our past, for our present, and for our future. Lord, I surrender my life to you. And because you, I am your child, your son, your daughter, I have peace for my past, my now, and for my tomorrow. I can live in joy and peace because I am yours and you are mine. So it's an inviting of and a receiving of the peace of God in our lives. I don't know about you, but boy, oh boy, do I need the peace of God in my life. And so this is now another truth that gets associated for me with my baptism. And so if you have been, I invite you to, as you're seated here, to again say, "Lord, again, I remember my baptism promises, and again, I invite and I receive your peace." And then we hear these words, there's more. We hear these words, "with whom I am well pleased." Oh boy. I really believe another important truth is associated with our baptism, and it's this. It is the invitation and the promise. "I am so pleased with you. I love you so much. You have no idea how precious you are to me." What happens is, I believe, is an outpouring of God's love into your life. And I pray that if you have been baptized, you will remember that. You will invite it again and you'll receive and remember God's promise to pour his love for you and for the people around you and all of creation, to pour his love into your life. Will you have a very real sense of God's love in your life? And for those who are going to be baptized, I pray that you will walk away here with a real sense of an immense being overwhelmed by just how much God loves you. For that's the beginning of change. Let me tell you, fear does not change us. Love does. An outpouring of God's love into our hearts. God is pleased with you. So, forgiveness, the washing, the cleansing, the work of God's Spirit, that sanctifying, ongoing work, the invitation and the promise that he will not just leave us here now in this moment, but continue to do his work in us. The adoption into his family, the peace of God and the love of God is all associated with our baptism. And then let's jump quickly, and then I'm finished, to Matthew 28. So this was at the beginning. Let's look at the end, Matthew 28, before Jesus ascends to heaven, we read this. Then Jesus came to them and said, hey, listen, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And so Jesus says this, he commands this of us. So baptism now becomes a gospel imperative. So it's what we do at church. We are living in obedience to Christ's command. So this is what church does. We do three things essentially. We speak Jesus into the world. We speak of the good news. We call to baptism. And then from there on, we teach one another to daily live into our baptism. That's called discipleship, so by the way. We speak the good news of Jesus. We call to baptism, and then we teach how to live in that baptism. So 7 weeks after Jesus said those words, he descended to heaven. We have Pentecost. You remember, God's Spirit comes on people. The apostles preach, and thousands give their lives to Jesus. And so, and then they go to Peter. They say, Peter, okay, so what do we do, Peter? What do we do? Acts 2. And Peter preaches, and he says, here's what you do. You repent, and you get baptized. You repent, and you get baptized. Every one of you, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2. And that's what we're doing today. I'm calling on us, those who are to be baptized, and those who are thinking about it, today here, as Peter did all those years ago, we do again today. I say to you boldly and unashamedly, I say to you, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. He can love you like no one else. He died on the cross so that you may know the forgiveness of sins, so that you might be reconciled with your Creator, your God, your Father in heaven. And he calls on us to repent. And what that means, he calls us to have a change of heart and mind. So to think differently about my life. So I think differently about my life so that I feel differently about my life, so that I act differently and live my life differently. I turn away from and I turn to God. I choose to set my back on those things that have pulled me from God and turn myself to my God, my Creator. I repent. I come on my knees and I say, Jesus, forgive me. I yield my life to you. And then I step into the water. That's what we're going to do now. I'm going to invite you to step into the water. So, let's do it. I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you that we can do this. Thank you that we live in a country where we have the freedom to do this, to live in obedience to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we step into this outward sign, as we step into the water, as you commanded us to do, as you did yourself, as we step into this water, it is an outward sign of the thing that you are actually doing in us, of an inner grace, your work in us, your work of peace, of pouring your love into us, your work of forgiving us, that sanctifying work of your Holy Spirit, making us more and more like you each day, that work of adopting us as your son, as your daughter. It is an invitation on our part and is a receiving of the promise from your side to do that work of grace in us. And so I pray for those who are now to be baptized, and I pray, Spirit of God, that if there is anybody here who now in this moment feels a calling and a stirring by your Spirit in their heart, who arrived here today not thinking this is what's going to happen, I pray that you give them courage to act upon the conviction, the thing that you're stirring within their hearts. I've been putting this off for so long. And Jesus, today is a day where I publicly want to say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I invite all those things we've spoken about into my life. And today I say yes to you. Give them courage to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. See you next time.